Christian Fellowship. Hello everyone, how are you doing? It's great to see you. We're back from Africa. Hakuna Matata. Yeah, we had a fantastic time. Absolutely awesome. And we just thought we'd spend 5 or 10 minutes sharing with you a little bit about that. Is that okay? A bit about compassion. And we were so absolutely, massively impressed by the work of compassion and what they're doing with the kids over there. And we thought we'd share a little bit about what God said to us and what we experienced and what we saw. So, do you want to go first? Yeah.
Jambo, that's what they say. Jambo means hi, hello. It's sweet standing up here because everybody's like in the dark. But if you remember a couple of weeks ago, if you were here, Stephen Bowron came with a man called Ronnie who had been through the Compassion Programme. And Stephen is the Northeast Director of the charity Compassion, which is an awesome charity. And it was for, he invited me and Martin, along with other church leaders, to go to Kenya to basically visit the projects that Compassion support and run. So that was a real privilege, and everything was paid for pretty much by Compassion, and for us to just go and see how everything worked. And I know some people here, I think, within our church, quite a few people have already started sponsoring children. And I think Stephen, he was so blessed and amazed by the amount of generosity in this church, because some churches only sponsor one child. But I think up till now, there's 30 children from our church being sponsored, and he was really blessed by that. So just well done. And that just shows your beautiful hearts that you really want to bless the poor. And, you know, as a church, Amazing Grace, we really feel that God is calling us at this point to, you know, to remember the poor. You know, it says in God's word to remember the poor. Jesus said, you know, you'll have the poor with you all the time. And he calls us to remember the poor because we can easily get on in life and forget. But it's a great thing to remember the poor and to find the place where God wants us to remember them and to help them and bless them. And so I just want to share a few things, what I experienced by going to Kenya. So we travelled on Sunday, we left and we arrived in Kenya on Monday. And we went, we were with, there was all of us together, 15 of us all together from the UK and the Isle of Man, other church leaders. So that was another amazing thing, meeting new people who had a heart for the poor. So compassion, basically, over 3 days, the Tuesday, Wednesday and the Thursday, they organised, we stayed in a hotel and basically over 3 days we visited three projects in Kenya, in the area where we were staying. And on the first day we visited what they call a survival programme, and that's basically a programme in a place where the compassion look after babies in the womb and babies and young children and support the mothers. And that was a place we visited. And on the afternoon we visited, we made a home visit to one of the houses of the people or the families who were being supported by Compassion. And on the Tuesday we visited another place where Compassion sponsored the children. It was the older children. And then again we visited a home on the afternoon. And then on the third day, we visited a place where the compassion support the young people. And on the evening, actually, we had a gathering and a meal with three students who've come through the programme. Some of them had been sponsored from the age of 8, and these people were now 24. And they just shared their stories. And, you know, it was amazing. To go there was a privilege, and to see how the charity worked. And the first thing we did was we actually visited the Compassion office, which Compassion have actually built. And that was, and it's funny, isn't it? Because when we went, we thought, oh, we're going to go and visit the offices. That might be really boring, you know, kind of thing, in comparison to what we were imagining everything else was. But actually, you know, that place was really powerful and a real highlight, you know, for me and actually for Martin. We went in and we met the staff, you know, the wonderful workers of Compassion, who just put their hearts and souls into all the paperwork and admin of running the charity. We went round and saw the people, and there was one room we went into, and it was the place you know that when you sponsor a child, you're actually encouraged to write a letter to the children and they write a letter back to encourage each other and love each other and to get to know each other. And one of these rooms was a place where it was the letter room. And on the wall, we've got pictures and everything, but we didn't have a chance to get them together, but hopefully maybe we'll get them on the website. But one of the pictures we took was in this room, and on the wall was it was like a post office, all these shelves of letters in there of all the different countries where the letters were coming from and where the letters were going. And on the desk there was piles and piles of paper. There was a photocopying machine, and there was a huge cupboard with massive piles of paper all wrapped up ready to be sent. And this is where I said it to me, that this was like, it was, we were crying in this room. It was like, this was the place. And it sounds bizarre. It was like a real, the heart of compassion, because this was the place of relationship between the sponsors and the children. The letters came there from the sponsors and were sent out to the children. And the letters came there from the children and were sent out to the sponsors. And it was the place, a place of like the heartbeat of compassion, and just such an important place. Also, one of the houses we visited was of a lady who literally the house was, you know, was made of corrugated metal, and I don't know how big it was, hardly any room. She had three children, and one of her children was supported by compassion. And with compassion, if one of your children receives a sponsor, their life is changed, their family is changed, and whoever that family touches, the community, that community is changed. And the heart of compassion is the gospel, actually. A big part, they say, if you look at the actual compassion logo, it says, in Jesus' name. And everything they do is in Jesus' name. And for us to go over there, those 3 days, we experienced that compassion, the charity, they're there to help the poor, but also they partner with the church, and they don't do anything apart from partnering with the church. And all those children hear the gospel and know Jesus. And it's amazing to see the hearts of these children who have all responded to Jesus and know him, love him, worship him. And if you see some of these videos and photographs that we hope to get on the website, you'll just see them, the children, worshipping and loving. But this particular family that we were sat in this room, and one of the guys who was with us asked the mother, you know, what is your hope? What do you hope for? And I think basically he was kind of thinking about the children. What's your hope? Because compassion's helping you. What's your hope? And she said, my hope is in heaven. My hope is in God. She said, all this will pass away. Like she had very much to pass away. But she said, but my hope is in God. And like we just thought, wow. You know, we thought, wow. You know, these people we would consider to be poor, but actually in the hearts are very rich. You know, it was a challenge really to think, you know, we might think, oh, those poor people. But actually what's it all about? You know, it's about heaven, you know. And for us, for me, another thing was, these children, when they receive a letter from the sponsor, they're so delighted. It's so much to them. And we saw folders. We sat one day with the children, and they gave us the folder to look through for all the work that we're doing, all the Christian things and things that we're learning about God. And also about the in there were the letters from the sponsors, all in this beautiful folder, which they carried with them. And the name of the sponsor, who they prayed for every day, and all the letters from the sponsors. And, you know, you sponsor a child, it costs £25 a month, but also you have opportunity to give gifts, like for the birthday or Christmas or whenever you want, really, extra money, which actually, you know, the child is given the opportunity to go and choose things that they might need or would like to enjoy. And in this folder was a list of the things and receipts for everything that's been purchased, just all in this folder. So it's just so amazing. The whole compassion, the way it's run, you know, it's amazing. So if your heart, if you want to remember the poor, you know, this is a great way to do it. These lives are so blessed, so changed. And Martin might have a few more. There's so much to tell. Oh, yeah. One evening, like I say, we got together with three students, and each one by one, they got up and shared their story and how compassion, you know, the work of compassion had changed their lives, and how they'd heard the gospel, responded and come to know Jesus, and just how their lives had changed. Compassion looks after them physically, spiritually, medically, health-wise, emotionally, mentally and spiritually. It's a holistic, you know, the word compassion really just reaches their whole lives, and their family receives things that they need, like water tanks and all of these things, just for them to survive. And their lives, and because of their lives, because they become to know Jesus, other people, we've heard stories about other people who have talked to them and wonder what's happened, and they come to know Jesus. And it's just the gospel all the way through. It's so wonderful. But these older children, you know, they stood up and shared their stories, and just how, you know, it was amazing to hear how actually one thing that compassion does and the work of the church is to encourage the children to believe for great things for their lives. And those children are taught to think, what does God want you to do with your life, and have a vision. And these three students all shared what they were doing, what they were hoping for. It was really challenging, actually. And I was the girl who was on our table, a girl called Anne, she'd had a relative who was autistic. And the story behind that actually gave her a heart, as she got older, to train to look after children with special needs. And that's what she was doing at university. And her hope is, I said, what's your hope then? And she said, she wants to open her own school, you know, for special needs children. And then we were talking to her, and she said, oh, we sponsor children as well. I said, you sponsor children? She said, yeah. She said, us as students, ourselves, this came from their own heart. Four students got together, and they said, we'd like to sponsor children as well. So they put their own money together, and they're actually sponsoring children themselves. And I just thought, wow, you know, that charity is rightly named. The word compassion, you know, from the people here, reaching out to those there out of love and finance to reach them, to bless them, so that they can receive what they can in their world, you know, the love of God, the salvation and everything. Because of the love and everything they've received, and because of Jesus, the compassion flows up within their hearts, because they then want to bless others. It's awesome. Thank you.
It is awesome. Stay here, Casey, I think of something else. If you think of something else, you can share it as well. Yeah, I tell you, I mean, a few things that really struck me. One was that the kids you're sponsoring, so there's 30 kids we're sponsoring from our church already, which is absolutely phenomenal. Those kids are really poor. They really are the lowest of the low in terms of poverty. So the kids are selected who are desperately poor. We went around the homes and visited them and saw the conditions of the houses. You know, it's as poor as you get without being on the street. No running water, no electricity, just a room with a little side room for cooking, and lots of disease and sickness, malaria and stuff. So it's very poor. I've travelled around the world and lived in these homes many times, so I wasn't shocked by the poverty. I've been shocked by poverty as I've travelled in India and Kazakhstan, actually, and Mindanao. Some real shocking poverty, but this matched it easy. Some of the other church leaders who hadn't seen that poverty were really shocked by that and incredibly moved by that. I was more moved in the office, to be honest. I was absolutely blown away by the love of the workers. The workers in the office of compassion, these on fire, beautiful Africans, Kenyans, who love these kids and just live for them and travel miles in little buses to get to them. And it's just absolutely phenomenal. And they're full of joy and on fire for Jesus. I mean, obviously, Africa is a much more Christian continent than Europe anyway, isn't it? Much more on fire, Christianized continent than we are. So there's masses of Jesus everywhere. It's phenomenal, full of joy. But these kids are very poor. So the kids you're sponsoring are really poor, and it really makes a massive difference for the whole family. Like Margaret said, when the kid's sponsored, the whole family get fed. Because what's the point in educating a kid if he's going home starving? It's ridiculous. You've got to feed the whole life. So So they're really poor. That's one thing that's worth knowing. Second thing is, they're massively righteous in terms of money. Like Margaret said, with the receipts for everything that's spent, it's all up and above board. They don't work with any church either. There's a huge list of churches in Africa who would love to be part of a compassion project, but they won't do it. They only work with the church if they can open a compassion office with them in the church, train up an administrator and an accountant, unless they've already got a really good one, make it very clear and all above board and clear the money. And also, they only work with churches who are already doing it. If the church isn't already looking after the kids in their community, they don't work with them. They don't do it for the church. They do it with churches who are already doing it. It's just massively impressive because they really believe in church. They really aim for the actual poor. They really have righteousness and integrity in terms of the money. It's just honestly, talk about impressed. But for me and Margaret, personally, I mean, I'm an evangelist, aren't I? So it was all about Jesus and salvation. Do you know, they don't make a big thing about this, but let me tell you, just between us, 100% of the kids who sponsored get saved. 100% of them. So even if they go to a Muslim family and want to sponsor this really poor Muslim kid, they say to the mum and dad, just to let you know, he's going to be taught Christian doctrine, be involved in Christian discipleship. He's going to worship with a Christian church. Is that okay? And they just say, yeah, absolutely, because they want to be saved from poverty, but they're also saved from death and hell because the kid gets saved. And then guess what? Often the family gets saved. So we heard awesome testimonies, didn't we, from the parents of the kids. You wouldn't believe me if you saw me a few years ago. I was absolutely lost now, but my kid came to Compassion, and they got changed, and I came, and now I'm a pastor, and I'm, honestly, it blows you away. Stephen and the guys undersold it when they came here. And I thought I was blown away by what they shared with you, but undersold it. So we were just massively blessed. Honestly, there wasn't one weakness, one negativity I could see. So our 30 kids, you can chip in and tell me if you remember anything. Our 30 kids, basically, and you can sponsor more. You can sponsor more today. Chris and Keena are going to head up the sort of contacting and administration bit of Compassion. So they'll be outside at that desk. And if you want to sign up to sponsor a kid. But remember, it's something massive. Remember that if you're giving 25 quid a month, you're actually, you're going to change someone's life. They're going to pray for you every day. I mean, does that sound good? These on-fire African kids praying for us. Yes, please. We've sponsored 3 already, so we've got 3 kids praying for us. Hallelujah. I'm feeling better already. And you're going to be able to meet them as well. Because the kids that we're sponsoring here in this church are from the same general area around Lake Victoria. We can go there because it was a 10-hour drive from where we were. We were in Nairobi, around the area of Nairobi. But a 10-hour drive from Nairobi will take us at some point, those of us who want to go and can go, on a bus to that area. And the 20 of the kids are from one particular project, and then others are spread out just in that area. But the compassion workers go and collect the kids, your kids, and bring them in to meet you. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's powerful. It's awesome. I think it's going to change your life and ours in an awesome way. And honestly, I think it's something new as well. We've always believed in helping the poor, as I'm sure you have, you're born again. We've sponsored Kids Through Tear Fund and stuff for years, actually. And we've got our money in a few different charities as well as here as well. Hope you still give here, otherwise we'll all die. But anyway, the truth is this is so impressive and so evangelistic. I mean, I said to Margaret, honestly, where else would you bother putting your money? I mean, many other charities just educate kids or open a well in their town or something, which is wonderful. But this is all about Jesus. Every kid who got up said, hello, my name is Justice. I am born again. I love Jesus and I'm going to heaven. And I'm very happy for Compassion to help me. It was just all about that. And all the teachers said the same. Hello, I'm born again. And in their folder, the date you were born again, the date you were baptized, memory verses you're learning, it really is in Jesus' name. And they've been offered a lot of money off government's compassion to drop the in Jesus' name bit. If you show compassion not in Jesus' name, we'll give you a fortune. They said, no thanks. this is about Jesus. This is Jesus' compassion. That's why it catches and changes the lives of these kids. So these students are full of compassion. Actually, they're full of the kingdom of God. They're not just saved from poverty. They're caught up in this massive purpose of God. All the students got up and said, I thank God for compassion coming into my life when I was a kid. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going to heaven. And ultimately, heaven is what it's all about, isn't it? That's what these students were saying. Oh, honestly, phenomenally impressive. Yeah, cool.
Just one of the stories. I don't know, just before we went, we watched Top Gear. Do you ever watch Top Gear? Well, Top Gear in going through Africa. And so we watched this actually going through Uganda, which is close to Kenya. And, you know, they're travelling through the mud roads and boom, 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 all the mud tracks. Little did we know we'd actually be doing that, you know. We were at this place on Wednesday and we visited these children. And it was awesome because there's like, you know, the Maasai tribe who they're very tall and they carry a stick and the machete and all this kind of thing. The Maasai children were all dressed up and they did a dance and everything and it was awesome. And then there was three minibuses that were looking at taking us all to different places. There was 15 of us. So we all sort of went in the different minibuses every day. And we went in this minibus and we were going to travel to this house to take a parcel of food and a gift and to visit the family. So we set off and it wasn't actually roads. It was, again, these mud roads. And it actually had rained the day before. It was like the rainy season. Actually, we didn't get wet or see much rain, but during the night. And actually, I walked across the field and you see where the ground is. But I walked and my foot went root right down. So the soil's there, but underneath, it's been washed away. So I thought, wow, I've gone right down there. And we were driving along the mud roads like this. It was like being in a tumble dryer, you know. Somebody said, boom, 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 boom. And we saw trucks over the side of the roads and all sorts of things. And we were like, whoa. And we were in the middle of Africa here, right in the middle of the Rift Valley. And we're going along, and we got to a point that said, we can't go any further. The road's disappeared, you know, the mud road. So they said, we're going to have to get out here. So we were like, oh, my goodness, is there any animals at all? Sometimes you can see giraffes and gazelles and things around here. And we got out there, and it was amazing just standing. And, you know, if you've ever been to Africa, I know Kenya, but just standing, and we're like looking around thinking, wow. It's amazing being there. But we were actually going to visit the one particular house and you just see God's hand in all of this. We were going to visit one particular house and they said, we can't actually get to that house because of the road. The road's disappeared. But there is another house, another child sponsored across these fields, across this way, and we're going to walk there, you know. So we set off thinking, wow. And it was like a scramble, really, you know, trying to get up and over and all through where we were going. It was like, all right, here's our adventure, you know, going through Africa. And then we arrived at this, it was like a bit of a farm. And we got into this place to a family, a grandma, and she had a grandson. And this boy, he's 16 years old, and he's on the compassion program. And she had another little child there. And they weren't expecting us because we'd planned to go somewhere else. But we brought this parcel to this house, and it was just in here, we thought, you know, God had planned for us to go there because this boy who was 16, his cousin had died just a couple of days before and he was in grief, you know. And the funeral was the next day and the grandma explained that he wasn't keen to answer questions because he felt really sad, you know. And we just thought, you know, in all of that, God, you know, that there's the poor and there's the poor and there's the poor, but God sees all the hearts of the poor. And that day, that family were feeling grief, you know, and they were in a state of even greater poverty. And God planned that we could go there and bless them with this parcel and just to stand. And we said, can we pray? And to stand with that boy and that family and just to bless them and pray for them. It was just a privilege, you know, you think, you know, God's amazing. And actually, in the end, you know, like I say, what's it all about? But it is about God and hope in heaven. And actually, we have the privilege of being able to give financially to these people who can be so blessed and receive Jesus and everything that they need to survive and live, you know, and have hope. And that's what Compassion do. They give hope to these families to think, oh, we can actually live in a better place. I mean, to us, it's like scary to think how they... Because I was thinking about our Rebecca having a baby this week. I said to Martin, I said, you know, we are thinking, Rebecca, are you okay? Take her to the house, you know. Right, I'm there looking after her. And I think, you know, she's got a bath there, she's got a bed, she's got everything she needs. Yet we're so caring and kind. And I said, those people have nothing, nothing. I said, how do they survive? Having babies in those situations, you just think, God sees them and he takes care of them, you know. And but for us, you know, if you have the finance, you know, and even if you don't, I thought, there's people who have dogs and buy cigarettes. I thought, how much do they spend on that every month? I thought, £25 a month, you know, and what it does, and what it does for those one child, one family, one community in that nation. And the children that are sponsored are thousands. I can't remember exactly how many in Kenya alone. Was it 100,000 children sponsored through Compassion alone, just in Kenya? And it's all around the world, you know, running these. And it's awesome. And for me, I think the challenge and an encouragement for us, for those who have the children already, is to write the letters, how important the letters are. Because I sat down with our boys and their children, and I opened the folders, and we looked at them, and we saw the letters there, and we talked about them. And I thought, in my mind, I thought, right, we need to write these letters. And when I got there, I thought, I'm going to write them letters. You know, just for us to be encouraged, because for them children to receive that letter of encouragement, of love, and even a photograph and words of prayer, it's like you're almost a second parent to them, like a spiritual parent, if you like, out there, but you're a real person. And that is a real blessing and encouragement. They said some children have the letters, but there's children there who are still waiting for the letters. Any letters for me? You know, but just to encourage us. To, you know, I know it's so hard. Our lives are so busy. But just to remember the poor in that way, to write your letters as often as you can. Okay, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Margaret. On your way, Margaret. Go on, you're trying to get my job. Off you get. Only kidding. Right, do you want to open your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, which I hope you have, but no condemnation if you haven't. No doubt you can pretend to look at your phone. Romans chapter 1. Let's look at this together. Let me share with you some of the word of God to feed your soul. You excited by that stuff? Sounds awesome, doesn't it? Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand to his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the nations to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all of you in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come and visit you. I long to see you face to face, so that I may impart to you a spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've tried many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have among the other Gentiles. I am indebted to Greeks and non-Greeks, to the wise and the foolish. That's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Amen. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you would move in our hearts this morning in the name of Jesus. We ask you to do something wonderfully supernatural in our heart this morning, that you would stir up the fire of the gospel in our heart. You'd make us witnesses for Jesus Christ. You'd make us not ashamed of the gospel and bold to share the good news in every way that we possibly can. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. This morning is a sort of, it's a giving day. We have these a couple of times a year in Amazing Grace to give to the work of Amazing Grace, the church that you're part of, and to give over and above what we normally give as our tithes and offerings. And the reason for that is that we need resources, we need money from God, from heaven, from you, to preach the gospel, to do the work of ministry. Now, what is the bottom, what's the purpose of Amazing Grace Church? What is it? What are we actually here for? And the bottom line, to be absolutely honest, is simply this: salvation for other people. We're here to preach the gospel in Europe, in Tees Valley, where we live, right here in Middlesbrough and Stockton and so on, in England, in Europe, and then to the ends of the earth, in that order. But we don't live in the Rift Valley. Those guys are doing a fantastic job right there. We're called to do a fantastic job right here. We can support them, but we must do this as well. Otherwise, it's unreality. Don't get all spiritual. Now give my money to Africa. Yeah, but are you serving in your local church as well? Because they wouldn't entertain you over there unless you were. That's real Christianity. It's on the ground where you are, paying your own bills, pouring resources into your own work here for the sake of the kingdom of God. That's true of every church everywhere. The purpose of every church, the purpose of every Christian, to be honest, bottom line purpose, bottom line, is to save other people. That's why you're here, you know. That's why when you came to the cross and were born again and justified and right with God and your sins were forgiven you, you didn't just evaporate and go to heaven then. You could have just gone straight to heaven, couldn't you? I mean, you're going to go to heaven on the same basis the day you do die. Why not just save the grief? Save the years of grief and just take me now. God is unwilling to take you now. Why? There's work for you to do. There are others. There are others to tell. There are others to share the good news with. There are others to bring along with you to heaven. That's the number one purpose of this church. Why give to this church? For the sake of the gospel. That's why. Isn't there other purposes as well? Yeah, but the secondary. There's purposes of, and they're connected to it. You know, one of the great purposes of God in my life and your life is to become more like Jesus, isn't it? To be sanctified and changed, to become more like Jesus. Why? So I can have a greater influence on more people. They're attracted to you more, so I can save more people. Ultimately, it's all about the gospel. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, why would he be? Well, there's many reasons you could be. Actually, that Greek word ashamed means to be intimidated into silence. To be intimidated into silence. Huh, does not sound like the UK. Paul said, I'm not going to be intimidated into silence about the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God. When you share about Jesus Christ, like Roy wonderfully did this morning, you didn't know I was going to preach this, did you, Roy? I didn't know what Roy was going to say, but this is the Holy Spirit speaking. This morning's about the gospel, because we're here for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not going to be intimidated into silence. I'm going to keep preaching it, sharing it, talking about it, because it is the power of God. The gospel is absolute supernatural power when it's preached. And that word power in Greek is the word where we get the word dynamite from. Dynamite. The gospel is the dynamite of God. You light a stick of dynamite, something big is going to happen. And when you share the gospel with someone, something big is going to happen in their life. It's impossible for it not to. They still get to choose, but you have planted the dynamite stick where it's going to affect them in one way or another. And there's absolutely no getting away from it. The gospel's so supernatural. It's supernatural power. Me and Stuart used to do this thing at Spring Harvest for about 10 years called Just Looking. One guy came, bawling his eyes out, and gave his testimony of what happened in our little group. He said he'd been coming to this, he was a non-Christian, his wife was a Christian. She wanted to go to Spring Harvest. So he said, I'm a nice guy. I would go with her. And I'd go looking around the shops of Skegness and go on the beach and go to the car boot sales. Not interested in that church stuff, that God stuff. He said, but one day the weather was really bad. And as I was walking to the car, I saw a little sign on the window of this room that said, if you hate being here, if you can't stand being here and are desperate to escape from Christians, come in here. And it was a poster that me and Stuart stuck up on the window. And this bloke thought, that's me. We come in here and have a coffee. So he came in and we made him a coffee and chatted to him. And he joined another group of other 30 people who hated being there, hated being with Christians and didn't want to know. And he sat there and he said, because you and Stu were all right. And I stayed. I thought I'd stay and listen. And then we, without warning, without giving any warning, we deliberately exploded some dynamite in the room. We got up, Stuart gave his testimony, and then I spoke about Jesus' death on the cross for sinners. And at the end, I appealed to people's will. I said, look, son, you've heard something this morning. You can respond if you want. If you want to stand up and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to give my life to you. I want to go to heaven when I die. Then just stand up where you are. And he said, I was sat there. And he, this is his testimony, right? He says, I was sat there. And I thought, no chance. Absolutely no chance. I am not going to stand up. And a couple of other people stood up. A couple of them started crying. The dynamite of God was already off in people's lives. And he was sat there and he thought, no chance, no chance. And sweat started to appear in his head. No chance, no chance. And sweat started to run down his face. No chance, no chance. And then he heard a voice in his heart. And he's given this testimony many times, hasn't he, since? He used to come every year and give his testimony. He said, can I give a testimony? Okay, go on. Do your testimony again. Because he ended up working for Spring Harvest. He ended up on the top leadership level of Spring Harvest. We were like the little nobodies. He had the proper badge. Anyway, and was in all the offices and knew all the big heroes, you know. But he used to insist in coming to our group every week. Can I give a testimony? Yeah, go on. And he always cried at this bit. He said, no, stop there. With sweat running down my face, and heard a voice in my heart, and the voice said, he means you! He said, and I stood up, and I was saved. I was born again. My sins were forgiven. It's supernatural, isn't it? It's absolutely supernatural. We started preaching the gospel in James Finnegan Hall, and some of you know Phil Cartmeal. You know Phil Cartmeal? Phil and Julia, some of you know them. Phil Cartmeal was a proper sinner, and he was not interested in God at all. He'd fell out with his mum and dad and hadn't seen his mum for 10 years. But he bumped into his dad in a pub one night, and they're having a drink together. And he said, good to see you, son. He said, do us a favour, son. Go and see your mother. He hadn't seen her for 10 years. So he decided to go round. And he went round, and Jean was a full-on Holy Spirit-filled woman. And she was glad to see Phil, of course. And she said, Phil, so good to see you. Do me a favour. Go to James Finnegan Hall. Because the preaching, the gospel, that's what she used to speak. She's gone to heaven now. Because the preaching, just go for me. And he sort of half promised her, I'll see what I'm doing. When is it? Thursday night. I'll see what I'm doing. And Thursday night, he had no intention of coming. He says, you can ask him himself. He's said this testimony many times. He had no intention of coming. Because he was in a darts club. And it was darts night with the lads. He'd been in the darts team for years. But his mum rang him and said, are you going, Phil? He said, oh. He said, it's a darts night, mum. She said, oh, I thought you said you were going to go for me. You've got to be a good evangelist, haven't you? Thought you said you were going to go for me. He said, oh, I'll drop in, mum, on the way to darts. Is that all right? That'll do, son, thanks. He came to the back of the James Finnegan Hall, sat on the back row, intending to stay for 10 minutes. But when he did, we were preaching the dynamite of God exploded in his poor face. And God, the Holy Spirit, threw his dart, boom, bullseye. And he was riveted to his seat. And he said, I could not stop myself. I could not stop myself getting out of my seat. And I watched myself walk to the front of the... He was the first person down, tears flowing down his cheeks. It's powerful, isn't it? The gospel is the supernatural power of God. When people hear it, dynamite goes off right in people's faces. We were preaching in Estonia in Ola Vista just a couple of months ago. And a girl was there, was a part of Carl's family. She's a Seventh-day Adventist. And she went, she's a lovely girl. And she went and she was sat there listening to us preach. And she said, you gave her a response to lift your hand up if you want to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. And she said, didn't she, Carl? I watched my hand go up. And when it got high enough, I was absolutely encountered God and was transformed. It's the power of the gospel. Absolute power. We'd been with Reinhard Bonnke and, on this conference. And, you get inspired, don't you? That's what I'm doing with you today. I'm inspiring you about the gospel. You get inspired to share it. And we came out, and Ian, we walked past David Beckham, didn't we? We came out, we'd been with Reinhard. It was like, oh! And then we came out, we were walking back to the hotel, and we walked past David Beckham. We was like, oh, there's David Beckham. He was like, nobody. He was too small. He was just nobody compared to being with Reinhard Bonnke. He was just amazing. And we came out, and we were buzzing, and we were full of the gospel, and full of fire. And Ian went into the car park. He's talking to this guy. And he just overflowed the gospel to this guy. And said to him, I just want to say something to you. Jesus loves you. You see what Roy said? That guy comes into his barracks. No one wants to know. No one wants to know. I don't want to know. Do you know God loves you? Boom! Huh? And Ian did the same in the car park with this guy. Do you know that Jesus loves you? My mother's been praying for me. Why don't you receive him right now? He leads the car park attendant to Jesus on the way home. Stuart went for a bike ride one day down to the river, down to Yarm River with their Mike when he was a little lad. And they saw a guy sat by the river. They didn't know he was contemplating killing himself. He was massively depressed. His own kid had died years ago when a concrete pole, a freak accident, had fell on his little son and killed him. He'd never recovered from it, lived a nightmare life, been in and out of prison. Massive drinker, and he decided to end his life that day. Went down to the river, was finishing a few bottles of cider and getting in the water. Stuart didn't know that. He was on a bike ride. But as he was on a bike ride, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, who's going to share the gospel with that guy? So Stuart said to Mike, you stay here, and went back over that bumpy field, over that awkward field. It's awkward, isn't it, sharing the gospel? It's awkward. No one feels comfortable about it in our culture. You got to go over the bumpy field and get to this guy and you feel a bit awkward. And he shares with him about Jesus, tells him about Jesus, and that dynamite blows him right away from hell and death and saves him. And he's born again. And he turns up in our church a few weeks later, saved. It's absolutely supernatural. Brothers and sisters, let's share the gospel. Let's share the gospel, invite people to our small groups, and invite them on Alpha, and invite them to church on Sunday, and just invite them. Didn't you enjoy Easter Sunday? Isn't it awesome when you hear those Alpha testimonies? It's fantastic, isn't it? There's nothing like it. Becky's friend. Is she here this morning? Becky, come up here a minute. Your friend, if she's a bit shy, she doesn't have to come. But yeah, Becky, you do need to come. Come on. Come here a minute. I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Nothing scary, just your bank details and your vital statistics, things like that. Round of applause to Becky! Hey, she's awesome. I just want to ask you a few questions. Come up here, because this will break your fears and deliver you from bondage. So, Becky, tell us a little bit about your friend. When did you meet your friend again? What's her name again? It's the two Beckys I thought it was. Yeah, I wrote Becky, Becky on my thing. Tell us a little bit about your friend and how she came to know Jesus.
We met at when Alex started nursery at St. Mark's 2 years ago. Is it 2 years ago? About a year ago. And Alex became friends with her little boy, Charlie. Yeah. And they've gone through school, the whole first year of school.
So you've known her for 2 years?
About a year and a half.
Year and a half. And just answer me this. When did you start praying for her to become a Christian?
After we started talking and getting to know each other.
So pretty much as soon as you got together, you started to pray for her.
Did you? A little bit after that. I did start praying for her, and then God was like telling me to talk to her about Alpha. Yeah. And then she actually asked me about going to church. Phenomenal. And she was saying, oh, can anyone go to the church? And I said, yeah. I said, you can just come any time.
Only good looking people.
And then, and that was it really. Then she started coming I think it was before Christmas.
And you started coming, and then you heard the preaching, didn't you? And was it in one of the Sundays that you gave your life to the Lord? You just give us a wave if that's a yes. Or was it with Becky?
Oh, no, it was with me, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, and she'd like had a dream on the night before that God like saved her almost before she'd actually said the prayer. That's awesome. So,
isn't that fantastic? Becky, thank you. Give her a round of applause. Let me tell you something about prayer. People don't get saved without people praying for them. That's the truth. See, a Christian, as soon as they meet someone who they're friends, if they love them, they want them to know Jesus. If they don't love them, they're not bothered. Don't tell me you love your friends if you haven't shared the gospel to them. Don't tell me you love your family if you haven't told them about Jesus. That's rubbish. Because if you actually love someone, and there's something really important they need to know in order to save their life, you will find a way to share it. You will pray for the opportunity. You don't offend people. But there's something bigger than offending people, and that is saving them. You will break through every barrier to see them saved if you love them. That's what Christians do. As soon as you're saved, the next thing you think is, what about my family? Good question. Work on it. Pray. I want to encourage all of you to come to Prayer Mountain tonight. We're going to have 3 hours of intercessory prayer and worship, and I'm going to share a little word about prayer and how it works. But I tell you, without prayer, nothing happens. When you pray, things happen. When you don't pray, things don't happen. That's reality. Someone said we should speak to God about people before we speak to people about God. And what I've often found, and what actually shows from that story of Becky and Becky, the two bees, is that as Becky's praying for her and sharing with her about God himself is doing the talking. Often before you talk, God starts talking to them. There's dreams, there's visions, things start happening because you're praying for them. Prayer is a powerful way of sharing the gospel. Not just preaching, but prayer, share. And care. So, the good news is for you. It's for me. I could tell you stories all day, but we haven't got time. But, the first thing in your life is to make sure that you're going to heaven. That's the first thing. Make sure you're going to heaven, then get as many other people to heaven as possible. Now we're going to have an opportunity for us to give. And here's what we're going to do. We're not going to have the bags go around as normal. It's a special worship and offering to God. The bag's going to be down here. And you can come to the front and give your offerings to the Lord as we worship. And if you aren't prepared this morning, you can write an IOU, because we're going to do it next week as well. And don't leave it till next week, because what happens is, you don't do it. Jesus told a parable about the sowing of the fields with seed. And he said, this is what happens often. This has happened to me loads of times. Someone preaches the word of God. That seed comes to me. And I think, oh, I'm really going to do that. I really want, that's it. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and pray early. That's it. I'm going to start giving. That's it. I'm going to share the gospel with my work colleague. That's it. What happens is you hear it. But because you don't, it doesn't go into your heart deeply enough, Satan comes and takes away that seed. That's happened to me many times. I make a decision in Sunday church, and by the time I've got home and I'm putting the gravy over the chicken, it's 50% as strong. By Monday, it's 20%. By Wednesday, it's gone. The word came to me, but I didn't receive it into my heart. Now you're hearing the word of God right now, and a call from God to respond financially and with your whole life for the gospel's sake. Now you decide. You decide now. That's why you write an IOU. You ask the Holy Spirit now what you should give, what the Lord is asking you to give. And it doesn't matter how much. What matters is that you respond to the Lord. And you write on there what you're going to give next week, and you make it good next week. And you come and put it in. This is a massive privilege for us, a massive honor for us, because as we give, we join a cycle of generosity from God. We're released from poverty ourselves, the poverty of spirit and unbelief and lack of faith and fear of money and worshipping money. We're released from all that into the actual kingdom of God, which is how it works, as you give. So let's pray. Margaret, will you come and pray for us? And then we'll make a decision and we'll come to the front as a band. The band will come as well and we'll have some worship. And the band, you can give after you've played, or you can give on the way to playing if you want. But why don't you take your papers in your hands right now, and then as we pray, you can respond to God.
Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for everything that's been shared. And we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will just soften our hearts to receive from you everything that's been given through you, Lord. We pray that our hearts will receive from you every good gift from heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us so much with life, with love, and with all such good gifts, Lord, as finance, Lord, that we have money, Lord, to be able to give. We thank you, Father, and I pray for each one here now, Lord, that you will speak, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will give them the faith to give, even if they feel like they haven't got anything or much. But I pray that you will speak what you would like them to give, Lord. Give people courage, Lord, to give, Lord, to you and to the sharing of your gospel, Lord, for your good news, Lord, for those who don't know you. Bless each of our hearts today, Lord. Pour out your blessing, Lord. Give us your joy, Lord. Make us cheerful as we give, Father, in Jesus' name. Cheerful giving. Amen.